Our Lord is the one who said concerning the Scriptures, "They are they which testify of me," he said. Paul wrote, "To him give all the prophets witness." And when our Lord was preaching to those disciples on the road to Emmaus, he began in the books of Moses, and then all the prophets and the Psalms expounded unto them the things concerning himself. That's all the Old Testament. And the thought, I asked myself, where did the Lord begin? And he was preaching to those disciples on the road to Emmaus. Where did he begin? Well, where he began, in the beginning. I'm certain of that. There's some passages that I'm quite certain he dealt with. Brother John came by. You can turn to Genesis 1. Go ahead and return to Genesis 1. Brother John came by today, as he often does, and we have a good time together. And we were talking about this. We were discussing what did he preach to the disciples? Where did he go? There's so many scriptures. And we both concluded that he had to have dealt with those things which he spoke of while he was on the earth, and which the New Testament scriptures deals with often, such as in the beginning, and light. Christ said, "I am the light of the world." And Genesis 1 begins this way, in the beginning. John 1 begins this way, in the beginning. Romans 1 talks about creation. Colossians 1 talks about Christ's creator. Hebrews 1 talks about Christ's creator. Revelation 1, the very last book, begins this way. He said, "I'm the beginning and the end." So we begin there. And then John and I thought, I told him, I'm certain he dealt with the woman's seed. That's a key, isn't it? That's the first gospel. I believe he's the one that preached that to Adam and Eve, the woman's seed. So we're going to look at that Sunday morning, Lord willing. And I thought about Noah's Ark. Our Lord dealt with. He talked about Noah's Ark then, as in the days of Noah. John said, "Well, how are you going to leave out Abel, Cain and Abel?" I said, "You're right." Said Hebrews 11 talks the first thing, Abel, the blood of Christ, the more excellent sacrifice. So, talking to David Edmondson today, David, you listening? He listens every Wednesday, he and Teresa Sunday morning. But David said, "You're going to be 10 years going through these times." So be it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning. Now, this message is not, this is for you. This is for God's people. This is for believers. I'm not here to prove God. And I'm not going to raise too many arguments. Paul told young Timothy and Titus both, avoid foolish questions. He said, avoid oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Science means knowledge. It's supposed to be knowledge based on facts. That's why it's called knowledge, science, falsely so-called. Man says there's no God, no creator. And they accept things, man's findings, as fact. What it is foolishness. But I'm not going to argue with potsherd. This is for you. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd. Let's glorify God, our creator. And I want to edify you tonight. Christ is the creator. Christ is the creator. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Heaven and the earth. Colossians 1 says that. John 1 says that. Let's go there. Go to John chapter 1 with me. John chapter 1. Kelly read this. I might have known he would read this. Whoever was going to read this in a study. John 1, as I said, Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, talks about Christ the Creator. Christ the Creator. John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same one, that is, was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And down in verse 14 it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among God. It's a great mystery. Paul said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. There's no controversy among God's people, is there? God was manifested flesh. Now the world doesn't believe that. They didn't believe He was God when He came. And men don't believe that now. The way they refer to Him, the way they talk about Him, that He can't do anything. I said I wasn't going to do this, but Paul in Romans says, shall the thing formed say to Him that formed it, you can't do this? How foolish is man? Christ came, John 1 says, came to His own. Look down here in verse 10. He was in the world. The world was made by Him. The world knew it not. He came to His own. That is His creature. You see, if you create something, you own it, don't you? He said, I'm the potter. You're the clay. Now, cannot the potter do with his own what he will? Sure he can. Can he make one vessel this way, another vessel another way? Absolutely. And that's exactly what he did. Came to his own. His own received him not. Verse 12, but as many as received him. Received. Not accept. Receive. A big difference. Accept means you make a decision. Receive means somebody gave you something. You're a receptacle. Like the water in a glass, you know. If I want to pour this water in a glass, it has no say. It's a receiver. I'm going to put it in there whether it likes it or not. And He makes us willing. We receive Him. And it says they were born, not of blood, the will of the flesh, the will of man, but born of God. Receive it. In Hebrews 11, it begins this way. The third verse says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things that are made were not made of things that are do appear. That is, God made things just by speaking them into existence. Right? There was nothing, and God said, create it with His Word. We believe that, don't we? We absolutely believe that. That's His power. You know, when God, our Creator, came to this earth, Christ, when He came to this earth, what was His first miracle? He turned water into wine. You know how long it takes to make wine? 3 years. From the time you plant a seedling to the time you get the first grape harvest is 3 years, and another 2 years to ferment. 5 years. He said, be wine. He proved right there, right then and there, who He was. His first appearance, first miracle. Creator is our owner. Our owner. The Creator is our judge. If you own something, you do with it as you will. If you own, if you're the master over say animals, they must do your bidding, right? You're their judge and you're their owner. And that is Christ our Lord. He is our Creator, our owner. And so what does this do? What should this put within everyone that God has given this faith? Fear. Here's Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Come, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. The Lord is a great God. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. He is our God. We are His people. Christ our Creator. When Thomas finally found out who he was, he hit his knees and said, "My Lord and my God." No controversy among God's people. And so our Lord God created everything. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then on down, it says, let us make man. Well, who's, what do you mean us? Well, there's three persons in the Godhead. Verses 1 through 3. Is this ringing? I'm getting an echo. It says in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God. Capital F. That's the Holy Spirit. There's God. There's the Spirit of God. And verse 3, and you know this, our young people know this. And God spoke. The Word of God. And what did he say? The first thing about the Word. Let there be light. That's the Trinity. Triune God. Our God is one, yet three persons. Say, I don't understand. No, we don't. But we believe it, don't we? These three, yet they're one. In essence, in power, in glory, in purpose, in wisdom, in knowledge, in everything. And everything they did it together. Let us make man. Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, is as much God as God the Father. Though he's called a son. The only reason he's called a son is because he's the only bodily offspring of God. But he didn't have a beginning or end, did he? He's not a created being. You know, the Mormons say, I said it wasn't arguing with them. You know, they say he's a created being. Jehovah's Witnesses, they say he's a created being. God made him a little lower. No, God made him a body. A body prepared him. But he was with the Father from the beginning. Always. The eternal God. God, our Creator. It says in Genesis 1, look at it, verse 2. The earth was without form and void. Darkness upon the face of the deep. Here we see a picture also of salvation, don't we? You see, God, it said, the earth was without form and void, and so is man. Darkness, until God says, let there be light. Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Spirit of God's got to take the water of God's Word and the light of Christ, the gospel, and move upon our dark hearts, didn't it? Enlighten us, give us an understanding that we might know Him as truth. And I'm way ahead of myself. But God created all things in the beginning. The heavens declare His glory. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night knowledge. God our Creator. Christ our Creator. Look at Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. It's over there. And this is, we'll let Paul argue with these hot church or talk about man's rejection of the Creator. Romans 1, it says in verse 19, you have it, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, to them, clearly shown. God has showed it unto them. What's that? The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. He's eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. But when they see these, though they see these things clearly, they glorify Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And now all the so-called wise people of this world believe the most absurd and ridiculous and foolish notion there ever was, that all of this marvelous creation, the work of God, just happened, just evolved. Just kind of, you know, I thought about this. God has given man a brilliant mind in some way. And this mind of man is able to create things like computers and so forth, don't it? Like this. It's pretty amazing, isn't it, what all can be done now through. Do you believe that it took a brilliant mind to make computers and things like that? Do you believe that? I don't. No. I believe 11 billion years ago, floating around in space with chips and resistors and circuit boards, there was an explosion. You're laughing. It's foolish, isn't it? How much more foolish? See, God's the one that made man's mind. I first heard that years ago, and I thought about a man's watch, and I thought it was wonderful. Thought it was a wonderful explanation of how foolish man is. He won't give God the glory. He give man the glory, but not God the glory. And that's what it says in Romans 1. It says, worships and serves the creature rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Well, enough of them. Okay? Enough of them. God, our Creator. Christ is our Creator. When our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, God was manifest in the flesh. God, our Creator. They didn't know Him then. They don't know Him now unless He reveals Himself. Look at Isaiah 45. This is wonderful. So many scriptures speak of our Creator and of Christ. Isaiah 45. This is wonderful. It says in verse 9, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. And surely Paul was speaking of this in Romans 9. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall clay say to him that fashioneth it, what maketh thou, or thy work, he hath no hand? Woe unto him that saith to his father, what begettest thou, or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker. Who's maker? Israel's maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness. Who's that? Christ. I'll direct all his way. He shall build my city. He shall let go my captive. Not for price nor reward. And down in verse 15, it says, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel. Now, verse 18, but thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he established it, he created it, not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. And then he went on to say, assemble yourself. Draw near together. And he said in verse 20, 21, I am a just God and a Savior. There's none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God. There is none else. Who's he talking about? God? Yes. Christ? Yes. Both. They're one. Didn't Christ say, I and the Father are one? He said, he that hath seen me. Now, no man has seen God at any time. Right? Doesn't that scripture say that? No man has seen God at any time. Job said, though, I'm going to see God. Well, Christ said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And those that called him God, like Thomas, he did not correct them. It is blasphemy. It's idolatry to worship Jesus Christ if he's not God. He's God. Just as much God as God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. So Christ came. God, our Creator, came to this earth. Now, there's not enough time to declare his glory and the glory of his creation. You read with me Psalm 104. That's a good description of God's work. And as glorious as his creation is, as marvelous as creation is, it all pales in comparison to salvation, redemption, which is why Christ came, which is why God made the universe, to declare His glory. In Psalm 19, it says, heavens declares glory, the firmament showeth His handiwork day unto day. It says, in the heavens and the firmament, He made it a tabernacle for the sun, whose goings forth have been of old, who rejoices as a strong man to run a race. Who's He talking about? The sun? No, the Son of God. That God made everything as a picture, as a type, as a symbol of Christ our Lord. He made time for Christ to dwell in it. And the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of woman. That's Sunday morning's message, the woman's sick. But He came in time. Later, I've been singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing all day today. You say Christmas is over. We're going to sing it Sunday. Because it talks about the second Adam. That woman's seed. That's a year-round song. Late in time, behold Him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Christ came. Now, let me say this before we get into Christ, our light. That God made everything by speaking it into existence, didn't it? Same way with salvation. You know that? Same way in salvation. God spoke, said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be this, let there be that. That's the creation. God spoke it into existence. Same thing in salvation. How is there a new creation? God speaks. It's through the Word, through Christ. He said, my sheep shall hear my voice. And the first thing they will see is the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Christ, the glory of God in the face of Christ. And He did that. Let me make one more comment on creation, and we'll go to the light. You know that there are some professing Christians that believe in some sort of evolutionary creation. You know that? Yeah. They say that when God made everything in one day, it wasn't really a day. How many times does God have to say the evening and the morning with the first day? Six times. And Christ, even when He came, He said, are there not 12 hours in a day? Day and night, day and night. Genesis 9, He said everything is going to be the same as it always were, day and night, day and night. Okay? It's worse unbelief for a so-called believer to believe that than the rank atheist to say there is no God. That's the bow to science. That's the compromise and say there must be something to it. So we're going to validate something. You said, no, sir. God said, let there be light. And it was light. God said, let there be earth, trees. Right now. Right now. Okay? That's the way it was. You see, with man, it's impossible. And that's what makes God God. As I told you, Christ said, let there be wine. And there was wine. Five loaves and two fishes. They don't have anything to eat. We have to go into town. No, you don't. Boom. So, I hate that. I hate that people say that. Christ the light. When the Creator became incarnate. Creator. Light came into this world. Light shone in darkness. All through the Old Testament, the world was in darkness. Darkness, darkness, even Israel, darkness. Isaiah talks about the darkness, dimness, and anguish of spirit. And in Malachi, the end of the, then the Lord, then there was silence for 400 years. Darkness. And then in one night, in the fullness of time, one night, 2,000 some years ago, a light shone. A star. It pointed to somebody. Light has come. People that sat in darkness are about to see a great light. Lights. That's what John, go back to John 1. I should have had you stay there. But John 1 tells us that Christ the Creator. That John 1, you have it? John chapter 1 says, all things were made by Him. Verse 3, without Him was not anything made that was made. That's Christ the Creator. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. Verse 7, John came to bear witness of the light. Now it begins to capitalize the word light. That all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John wasn't sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Christ is the light of the world. And 1 John, John wrote this, God is light. Well, who's light? God is light or Christ is light? Yes. They both are one and the same. Now, something I want you to see that I saw for the first time, Genesis 1. You should have known this, but Genesis 1, you know, the first thing that God did was in creation was say, let there be light. Was there light? Did it take a while? Light. When he gave eyes to that blind man, did it take a while? Mm-mm. There was light. There's light. God saw the light. It was good. God divided the light from the darkness. Oh, Christ is separate from sinners in him. Holy. But this is not talking about the sun. Son, look down in verse 14. He said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, the day from the night. Verse 15, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven. 1, verse 16, a greater light to rule the day, a lesser light to rule the night. So there was light before there was a sun. Who? What? Christ. In Revelation, let me tell you this. In Revelation 21, almost to the end of the book, talks about the city. There's no need of a temple. The Lamb is the temple. It said don't need the sun either. Why? The Lamb's the light there. God's going to distinguish this sun. We don't need it. We don't need it. Because the Son of Righteousness has come. And His light. So, Christ is the light, sun light. And here's what Peter said, and we're going to get to 2 Corinthians 4 in just a minute, guys, you know that. But look at 2 Peter, go over here, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter 1, talking about God's Word and light and Christ. Now, he said, 2 Peter 1, Peter said this. Verse 16, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well. That's what you got in your hand. God's Word. 2 Peter 1, 19. You do well to take heed to God's Word. Why? Because the entrance of His Word giveth light. Light. Light of what? Light is understanding. Light is knowledge. That's what the Scripture says. Entrance of His Word. Entrance of the Bible. entrance of a person. The Bible and a person, he said. Read on. He says, take heed unto the light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. You know, it's not going to dawn on you. The truth is not going to suddenly dawn on you. Christ is, through the preaching of his word. Now go to 2 Corinthians 4. Now go to 2 Corinthians 4. Just like there was darkness on the face of the waters and void without form and void, that's man's heart, isn't it? That was all of us who, when we didn't, without God, without Christ, without light. Now here's what 2 Corinthians 4 said. It says, verse 3, our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. If I started to go over and turn these lights off. If I did, you couldn't see. Right? You can't see without light. You're blind without light. If you have just a little bit of light, and we see through a glass dimly, but we do see. What is the light we see? In light of what? Light of who? Christ. It's all in light of Christ. This is knowledge. This is understanding. But so the light, verse 4, the light is of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God. The express image, Hebrews 1 said, by whom he made the worlds. Who God said, thy throne, O God, is forever. We believe that, don't we? That man is God. That man is the light of the knowledge of God. And verse 5 says, we preach not ourselves. This is why we don't preach man and his works and you know, all of these theories and all that. But Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Here's what's happened. Just like God created the heavens and the earth by speaking. This is what happens in salvation. God speaks. He commands. Thou hast given commandment to save me. And he sends the gospel and he shines in our heart. Brings us out of darkness into light. What light? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now here's my final point. In Luke 24, when our Lord was preaching to his disciples, and beginning in the books of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, he expanded on, he said, O fools and slow in heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What did they speak of? Christ. What about Christ? Crucified. Right after that, he said, all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered and enter in his glory? And then he went on. Later he said, these are the words I spoke unto you while I was with you. All things must be fulfilled, written in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture and said, thus it is written, it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead and enter into his glory, and repentance and remission of sin be preached everywhere. So here's the point. Here's the whole point of creation. Here's the whole point of salvation, of everything. Christ crucified. As I said, he created the world and man sinned, and it's been 6,000 years of darkness and sin. Light came. Christ. And Christ came to give wisdom, understanding, light of knowledge of who God is. He said, no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son. He to whom the Son will reveal him. You don't know God except in light of Christ. God's holy. He said, when you pray, you say, hallowed. God's holy. God is righteous. God is just. He says, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, you're not into the kingdom of heaven. He's righteous. He's just. He will punish sin. How do we know that? How do we know what God is like? Christ crucified. God crucified Christ. God put his soul to grave. God punished sin in his son. That's the God of the Bible. That's our God. And that's why Christ came. To reconcile us to God. To make peace. How? Not our silly little decision. Not something we do. By blood. Right. The blood of his cross. Oh, that's old fashioned. Yes, it's old. As old as God. This is the light of the knowledge of the gospel. That's why Christ came. If righteousness come any other way than Christ crucified, why did he die? God killed him. God made his soul an offering for sin. Why did Christ come? Sin. All the way back 6,000 years ago in the garden, man sinned. And ever since then, and Sunday's message is going to be of Christ saying, somebody's coming. That's what the old Old Testament says. Someone's coming to do what? Put away sin. Save men and women from their sin. Not all of them, but some of them. Many of them. This is light. This is knowledge. This is understanding. And when you have this, the whole, if your eye be single, what does it say? Your whole body, the whole body of divinity is full of light, full of Christ. When you see Christ, that Christ is all and in all, you'll see him in all the scripture. Everywhere. Just keeps opening up. He really is all, you know. This whole book is about Jesus Christ. He was to come into this world to save sinners by the sacrifice of himself.
That's right.
And then someday he's going to destroy this place. We read that in Psalm 104, let sinners be destroyed out of the earth. But those whom he's given the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, they're now been made partakers, meet to be partakers with the angels and the saints in light. We're going to dwell with him someday in light. We see that in light of Christ. We see what man is. We see what the world is. See what salvation is in light of Christ crucified. See the entrance of his word, which is Christ, preached to the gospel. Give it light. Else there's no light at all. To the law, John and I love Isaiah 8:20. We both memorized that about the same time, 20, 34 years ago. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to my word, there's no light in them. And the law and the testimony, the law and the prophets, everybody, everything speaks of Christ. If they speak not according to Christ, about Christ, there's no light in them. I don't care what they think they know about the Bible. If they don't see Christ in it, there's darkness. Aren't we blessed? Aren't we blessed? Oh, my. And you know the world doesn't care about these types. If you announce this, we're going to preach on the types of Christ for several weeks or years. And I wouldn't get a crowd. I'd get you. But that's fine. Our Lord was preaching to two on the road to Emmaus. And boy, their hearts were burning. I said, stay. Keep preaching. He'd been preaching for 6 hours. Keep preaching. Well, we're going to keep preaching. And what we're going to keep preaching? Christ. Because he's all. Okay, stand with me.